So, this week, we as a nation, and especially a number of us in this area, we stopped, put our schedules on pause for the funeral of President Bush number 41. The service at the National Cathedral was broadcast on TV, perfectly choreographed and flawlessly executed. And as one who plans worship services, this is not easy. Okay. A couple of months ago, I was there on my day as a chaplain, and they were rehearsing for this. All the military personnel there with a hearse and an empty coffin. They do this preparation, this rehearsal, 3 or 4 times a year, never knowing when the actual event will occur, but prepared and ready for whenever it comes. Because as we witnessed, once the death takes place, there's not a lot of time to prepare for that state funeral. The season of Advent is the church's rehearsal time, a chance to practice preparation for the inevitable event of the Advent, the coming of God into the world. Your focus this year may be on the coming of the baby Jesus, the incarnation of God coming into our world to be one of us. Or maybe this year you're thinking about the second coming of Christ to make all things new. Come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. Or maybe this year you're using the time to be intentional about noticing the coming of God into the people and events this moment, in this time, in your life. Whichever aspect of God's coming is speaking to your heart this year, Advent is our time to pause and prepare to receive God. The prophet Malachi tells us that God sends messengers to tell us explicitly that we need to prepare. And so, don't say you didn't get the memo. The last of the prophets is the messenger John, who was baptizing in the wilderness and calling on people to repent, to turn their lives around, to be baptized as a sign that they were starting anew, starting fresh. Even John's dad, Zechariah, had announced at John's birth that his mission was to prepare the way for God's coming anointed Messiah who would save God's people from their enemies. We read that birth announcement a minute ago as the psalmody. This Messiah was not coming to save the people from the Roman enemies, but from their sins. Sins which make us enemies of each other and of God. Save the people through forgiveness. That's why his message said, in order to prepare, you need to repent and seek forgiveness. Change any sinful ways that are separating you from God and others, and start over with reoriented lives. Now, anyone who has tried to quit an addiction, and we're all addicted to sin, anyone who has can tell you that it's not easy or natural, and that it usually involves a lot of retries and restarts, and often new trips back to rehab, which is where you are this morning. So God chooses an unnatural place for this messenger to deliver God's message. It was the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius, but the word of the Lord did not come to Tiberius in Rome, and the word of the Lord did not come to Pilate in the governor's mansion in Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord did not come to King Herod in his palace in Galilee, or to King Philip in his palace, or to Licinius in his headquarters at Abilene. And the word of the Lord did not come to the high priest Anna or the high priest Caiaphas in the temple in Jerusalem, which is where the presence of God was located. No, the word of the Lord came to John with no credentials, but to John in the wilderness. I feel for John. Raised in a comfortable professional class home, and I expect he and his family hoped for that his call to ministry would be in one of the Jerusalem suburbs. But no, God had other plans and called him to an itinerant outdoor ministry in the wilderness. Now, some of you I know have been called to hardship posts, and you may be able to relate to this call of John's. Actually, before the invention of air conditioning, the European governments considered Washington, D.C. to be a hardship post because of the heat and humidity. You may have found yourself in a job or situation that you didn't want to be in, a hardship post, even though, you know, in accordance with your previous performance, maybe you should have been entitled to a better posting. So, do you sigh and step up to the call and fulfill it as ethically as possible? Or do you cave to temptation to do as little as possible while complaining loudly and undermining the work of others so that you won't look bad and get blamed? We heard a lot of eulogies this week, and some of you may have considered how you want to be remembered. What kind of eulogy do you want spoken about you? Do you want it to be for living ethically or for the property and titles that you've accumulated? John the Baptist calls us today to use this Advent season to go into our wilderness, away from the everyday calls of time and attention, to clean out some of the clutter on our life list, consider what we hold important, what those things we hold important, which ones are ones that we really matter, or maybe not matter so much, and we can let go of. John calls us to prepare our hearts to receive the holy, to journey into the unknown, because holy means other. Leave behind the familiar, much like refugees from a place that's no longer serving our needs or our longings. Leaving the safe known. Scary, yes, but as the prophet says, who can endure the day of his coming? We know it's scary. And as John echoes, the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. Yeah, scary, yikes. And you, John says, you who come out here, who go into the wilderness, thinking that you can make yourselves good enough to receive him, you're a bunch of snakes. That's what John says. You're a bunch of snakes. You can't transform your lives for selfless obedience. But the good news that John is proclaiming is that God can. As Luther wrote in a Christmas hymn, O dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed, soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Only God can make you ready for Christmas, because God has decided to forgive your sins. The good news that the church proclaims at Christmas is not that you better watch out, you better not pout, because the church is not in the morals business. The world is in the morals business, telling you what you need to be do to be judged acceptable and worthy of its gifts. But the church is in the forgiveness business, proclaiming that God will not allow human perversity to have the last word. Instead, God sends the word. Our gospel starts, "The word of the Lord came to John." And that word is what the church proclaims to you. So, how does God invite you to prepare for this good news of forgiveness? That's what John's audience wanted to know. But what should we do? And he told them that they could prepare by doing little manageable things, like sharing a coat if they had an extra one, or taking only what they were owed for their work and not cheating anyone or looking for advantage. Being generous with their means and being just and fair in their daily transactions. That's it. This was the good news. Live ethically and count on God's forgiveness. St. Paul tells the church, and that's you, tells the church that God began a good work in you and will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. In you and me, those of us who don't expect a state funeral or TV coverage, God's mercy often comes disguised in human weakness and lowliness, in people just like you and me, in your neighbors. The Bible's full of stories about how God's at work in the weak and the small, in the shepherd boy David, the young foreign penniless widow Ruth, in barren Elizabeth, in her baby, John, in the peasant girl, Mary, and her baby born homeless and then having to flee for his life, criminals being executed, and many more. The word of the Lord comes through them. And in them, God is at work to change the world. And God's not done yet. God continues to work through characters like that today, unlikely people like you and me. The same word of the Lord might be coming to those that the world thinks are nobodies. Some of them, people right here at Advent. When your acts of mercy and kindness are reflected and reflections of the mercy and kindness that God's shown to you, you are bearing the word of God into the world. And yes, that is enough. You are preparing the world for God's advent, because our work of bearing God's word of forgiveness is God's work. As John's father, Zachariah, sang at the birth of John, that song, as I said, that we just read, and that we are going to sing again in a minute following the sermon, that work is to proclaim with our lives God's mercy, forgiveness, and redemption. It's to show joy in the hope for the dawning of God's presence in our world, dawn that will be the light from God. It's to live that presence by living ethically and thus enjoy a whole saved life in the present and to be a point of light in the world. That's God's good news to you, that each day God gives you an opportunity to be a joy to the world. And in doing so, bring joy to yourself. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.